Hey guys, I'd love to thank Scrivener for sponsoring today's episode. I fell head over heels in love with the writing software ever since I learned about how Scrivener helped my recent guest on the show, award-winning writer Jan Ellison, with her debut novel, A Small Indiscretion. You can check it out for yourself and try Scrivener for free for 30 days. If you end up loving it as much as I do, Scrivener hooked us up with a special 20% off coupon code just for our Storyteller Tribe, and we have until the end of December 2015 before it expires. Head over to 88cupsoftea.com/Scrivener. For the coupon code.
You're listening to episode 23 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Cheng.
Wait, what does it say again?
Qing.
Jing.
An Jing.
An Jing.
Yi.
Yi.
Zhen.
Yi. Zhen.
Qin.
Jing.
Yi.
Zhen. Clarity. Humble. Peaceful. And honest.
Real.
Real.
Nature.
Real. Authentic. Yeah.
Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Cheng, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
I already forgot how to pronounce my name. Qin Jing.
Yi Zhen.
Qin
Jing.
Jing.
Jing. Yi Zhen.
J-I-N-G. Qin Jing Yi Zhen. Yi Zhen. Yi Zhen. Yi.
Qin Jing Yi Zhen. Clarity, humility, peace, truth. These are the words written in Chinese calligraphy on a scroll of red xuan paper, rice paper that was originally created in China for writing and painting. A hand-painted gift given to each of the students in the 7-day intensive tea program here in Taiwan. I'm traveling around Asia to explore and live differently for a bit, with Taiwan as a very first stop in the adventure, which is also my father's hometown. I've been brainstorming and planning on fun ways to do something with tea for my guests and you awesome listeners for a while now because of my own enjoyment and appreciation of teas. The intensive tea study program presented itself at the most perfect timing. My girlfriend had helped to open a very successful Taiwanese restaurant in Los Angeles, and from her work there, she met and became friends with one of the tea suppliers of the restaurant. We were about to depart for our trip around Asia and found out about the tea study program the day before our flight from those same tea suppliers. The program was created for tea professionals interested in furthering their knowledge as tea connoisseurs and for tea experts who are about to open their own tea shops. Though I'm far removed from the restaurant and food business, the program was a learning experience that was too good
so
to pass
when
up.
So, street type is always kind of roaring. You know, it's roaring like this. It's a half moon roaring, the rough roaring.
Okay.
You know, the Formosa Bonita also half moon roaring, right? And then they try to use the roller.
This is Thomas Xu, the founder of the Intensive Tea Study Program and the ambassador of Taiwan Tea because of his expansive contributions to the tea industry. Thomas's family has been in the tea business for more than 60 years, with him being a third-generation Taiwanese tea specialist. He's considered one of the world's leading specialty tea experts with his extensive knowledge of everything related to Taiwanese tea. Thomas has become a popular educator and speaker at countless international educational institutions, conferences, and conventions, including the annual World Tea Expo.
The roaring. And roaring have many functions. The first function is the shaping. You roll to shape it. Right,
right now, Thomas is explaining one of the steps in tea processing where the leaves are transformed into the dried leaves for brewing tea.
You break the cell again and then bring the juice out. So the juice apply on the surface on the leaf. So rolling make the tea, you know, first, you know, have more layer because they roll in down there, the juice come out. And that changes.
So what's this rolling that Thomas keeps talking about? It's one of the later steps in the processing of making tea. Rolling is when damp tea leaves are rolled around by hand, which produces wrinkled strips. Or if the leaves are rolled around by machine, the machine causes the tea to wrap around itself into a ball. Like Thomas explains,
The rolling action also breaks the cells of the leaves and causes some of the essential oils and juices to seep out, which helps to enhance the taste and aroma of the tea even more.
So rolling makes the tea, you know, first, you know, have more layer because they roll in down there, the juice come out, and that changing the flavor. So when we, this morning we say aroma mainly is from oxidation, but rolling to change the tea's flavor. You know, the way they roll in, say, baozhong, you want the aroma first. You see the grain, baozhong, the aroma.
So by now, you've already gotten a little taste of the tea intensive. Our schedules were packed back-to-back with visits to tea factories and manufacturers and local tea houses and businesses where we interacted with tea masters. We also made multiple stops at organic tea gardens and several nurseries to study the differences in leaves. Before I go any further, I want to share with you a common mistake that I made until this trip. At one of the nurseries, I pointed to the rows of tea shrubs and said, "Oh my God, check out the rows of teas!" I totally got schooled and was told that they were technically called Camellia sinensis. In Chinese, they call them cha hua. The literal translation means tea flower. Quick side note, Camellia sinensis is a prettier and more technical name for a tea plant, a tea shrub, or a tea tree, which, by the way, should not be confused with the other tea tree that's the source of the popular tea tree oil that we usually find from New Zealand and is used for essential oils. Camellia sinensis become teas after the leaves and buds go through different steps of processing, like the rolling of leaves you just heard Thomas talk about. Other examples of processing steps that help to determine the tea's unique flavor are oxidation, fixation, drying, and curing. Do you hear that rustling? That's me, fluffing the tea leaves during the withering stage. I'm holding the sides of the basket, rotating and lightly tossing the leaves, and then gently swooping my hands underneath the greens and very carefully dispersing them with a sort of cradling movement. This helps to make sure that all leaves are exposed to air. During this day, our tea group met at 8:30 in the morning, and we finished up at 2 in the morning the next day. We had a full-on hands-on experience making our own oolong teas closely instructed by Thomas and his friend Steve Huang, a renowned tea master. They're colleagues who love to challenge each other and learn from each other, almost like brothers.
It's still indoor withering.
Okay.
Indoor withering, and then you use a fluffing.
One of the very first steps in processing tea right after the leaves and buds are freshly plucked is to remove excess water by placing them in baskets under the sun and then bringing them into a cool, breezy room to pull moisture out from the leaves. This method is called withering. Withering helps with the breakdown of leaf proteins into amino acids, while the leaves go through a slight process of enzymatic oxidation. A lot of times, the leaves lose more than a quarter of their water weight during this step, and the caffeine is also increased during withering, helping to change the taste of the tea. Trust me, it took me a while to try and understand even a fraction of this information. Thomas and Steve were breaking down all the steps in processing tea and threw in a bunch of math and percentages. Me and math don't do so well together, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. What you're hearing right now are small ceramic lids being lifted and covered back onto the small teapots. We're all taking turns smelling the aroma from the brewed teas. This process is called tea cupping. The withering process of the leaves took us about 10 to 11 hours. We would wait to fluff the leaves every 2 to 3 hours, and during the times we were waiting, Thomas and Tea Master Steve tested our knowledge of teas through the process of tea cupping. Cupping teas uses both art and science to taste and evaluate the quality of loose leaf tea. We went through a number of steps to determine the quality, aroma, taste, color, body, and characteristics of different teas. It's quite common for tea merchants to line up similar types of teas and compare them against one another to see which has the best value when making a purchase. Cupping teas is a super important skill to have as a tea expert in order to differentiate and ensure quality control.
The bung in here. Also from,
you put it in there?
No, no, from the
In this cupping session, we were asked to pick which teas we liked best, and then the tea masters would reveal the price and quality of each tea. I chose the one that no one liked and found out afterwards that there were stink bugs found in the processing of that specific tea I chose. From numbers and percentages about oxidation to acquiring new skills of differentiating characteristics of teas, I was struggling to keep up while all the fellow students around me seemed to have a firm grasp on everything. A lot of times I would smell the teas differently than the experts around me, and 95% of the time I couldn't pick up the flavors and aromatic notes that they were able to. A perfect example is when we were cupping a high mountain oolong tea near Sun Moon Lake in central Taiwan. I finally tasted something that I was so sure of and said very loudly and quite proudly, "Ooh, this one tastes just like fried oysters. I love fried oysters." One lady gave me a look of horror and pulled me aside to say that I needed to learn how to choose better words to describe teas. Apparently, everyone else was tasting grassy, floral notes except for me. At times like these, I felt overwhelmed and inadequate, but I still had a sense of humor about it. And no matter how much I felt like I was screwing up, I always stuck with my gut and stood firm with my honest opinions about my thoughts and reactions to each tea while trying to learn as much as I could. Back at the tea garden where we were withering the leaves, during another one of our two-hour breaks in between the fluffing of leaves, the owners of the tea garden drove us out into the middle of a bamboo forest, pulled out an old door from their pickup truck, and propped it on wooden boxes to create a makeshift table. They set up teacups and kettles and enough stools around the table for everyone to gather. Their son and daughter poured us tea in the most graceful and delicate way possible. Later finding out that their children just came back from a tea ceremony competition. No wonder they were able to make a simple act of pouring tea like an art form. We were experiencing our very own tea ceremony right in the middle of a bamboo forest. It was unreal, and a memory I will keep with me forever. Tea is about community, a community where honesty, generosity, and humility are second nature. From the young tea merchants to the middle-aged manufacturers, to the 98-year-old farmers plucking the leaves and buds of Camellia sinensis, each person relies on each other, and no one is ever too young or too old to learn from each other. No matter what we choose to do in life, we should always put our best efforts to show up and to ask questions, even when we think we might sound stupid, and to always continue learning as much as we can. You'll never know where you'll stumble upon your next inspiration, especially as storytellers. This trip has reminded me that time and time again, inspiration is everywhere around us. It's up to us to observe, engage, and to listen. There's one more thing that Thomas was teaching us that really stood out to me, the terroir. The terroir is a complete natural environment where factors like the soil, topography, and climate come together to determine the tea's growth and character. These natural elements give the tea its specific flavor, minerals, and vitamins, all things that shape the tea into what it is before any kind of human intervention. As much as tea is about community, it's also about nature, with elements that are completely out of our control. I'm not a tea expert, nor am I in the food industry, and even so, the lessons were still beyond invaluable, and it's been eye-opening to see how we're all universally tied together. Like the terroir, our genetics define our gender, race, looks, and shape. And through a community, we're nurtured and shaped into who we are, and our life experiences and journeys add color to our personalities and character. Connecting dots like these remind me of the magic and beauty of having a show like this to connect with guests from different worlds and share their stories with listeners like you, so we can all learn from each other. Qing Qing Yi Zhen. I hope after this episode, we'll each carry a bit of clarity, humility, peace, and truth, and share that knowledge with our communities. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the Storyteller Tribe and listening in. This episode is really special to me. As you noticed, it's the first episode of the show where I experimented with my own kind of storytelling, similar to that of an NPR episode. I've been so inspired by all the interviews with guests on 88 Cups of Tea and have been itching to share a story through this kind of medium. Thank you for allowing me to share that with you. I would really love to hear your thoughts about this episode, so come on over and find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at 88 Cups of Tea. I've been posting pictures and videos of the tea intensive and my trip around Asia on those same social media accounts, so check out hashtag 88 Cups of Asia if you'd like to join me on my adventures. A heartfelt thank you to Scrivener for making this episode possible. I've honestly been having a bit of trouble keeping the ball rolling with a story that I want to write. A lot of times I make excuses to myself not being able to write for the day because I can't seem to find that great idea I jotted down for a chapter or the latest draft of that excerpt I wrote. Having Scrivener helps me a whole lot in getting rid of those excuses for myself. I'm honestly still having a bit of trouble committing fully to writing that story, but Scrivener makes things a lot easier for me when I'm feeling extra brave that day in tackling characters, ideas, and the story structure. I actually learned about Scrivener through one of my recent guests on the show. You may have heard her episode. It's the one featuring award-winning writer Jan Ellison of A Small Indiscretion. I've been using Scrivener for almost everything that involves writing ever since Jan raved about the software. Scrivener has truly helped make my life easier, and I'm excited to share this company with you. If you're a storyteller and haven't tried Scrivener out for yourself yet, you need to download their 30-day free trial. Give it a go, and if you end up loving it as much as I do, Scrivener is hooking us up with a special 20% off coupon code just for our Storyteller Tribe, and we have until the end of December 2015 before it expires. Head over to 88cupsoftea.com/Scrivener for the coupon code. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye!